quack, 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 quack,
welcome back to Defy the Mighty Ducks, the podcast where we discuss the 1996 Disney hockey sequel, D3 the Mighty Ducks, 5 minutes at a time. I'm your host, Blake, and I have two wonderful guests with me this week. First of all, our another all-star guest with me finishing up the series, Travis Bowe from Real Comic Heroes. Travis, welcome back.
Hello there.
It's nice to return. It's nice to return to finish up the run.
Had to be, had to return for, you know, get the hat trick in.
I see what you did there. Very nice.
Yeah.
And for the first time, and only because we literally just became friends a few months ago, the only reason for the first appearance, from Rocky Horror Minute, Leandra Lynn. Leandra, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here. Yes. Maybe I'll get some five for fighting.
Oh, nicely done. Yes. Me and Leandra only been friends for a minute because I did Rocky Horror Minute, and then we realized we're both hockey fans. So now here we are.
Nice.
So very nice.
And I was able to share with Blake the one cool thing that I know regarding D3, the Mighty Ducks, and just the Mighty Ducks in general. Mm-hmm. I used to work with the brother of Vincent LaRusso.
Ooh.
Ooh, very nice.
It was very cool.
That is very, very cool.
I wasn't starstruck, but I was, I don't know, I guess moonstruck? What's the, what's like slightly not a star?
Well, moonstruck works here, but we'll take it. Well, before we get into things, I'll start with you, Leandra. What's your thoughts on this movie and the series? Because it's your first time on this show, so.
My thoughts on this movie / the series. I love it. I remember watching this as a little one. We'll pretend that was a very little one, and just going through it and going like, wow, this is really great. This is my first experience with kind of the coming of age story through the lens of sports. And I feel like Disney really did a great job with not just the first and the second one, but I honestly have a really soft spot in my heart for this final closing out of the trilogy.
Fair enough. I'm starting to love this movie actually more as I'm doing this show, which is actually saying a lot because usually it's the other way around.
Yeah. Yes. The other way around.
Travis, third movie. Here you are. Your thoughts on this movie? And I'll ask you this: have you seen it before I sent it to you for this?
I saw this for the first time in my 20s, maybe. I think I had just rented it via Netflix when they did discs, or maybe a Blockbuster online, something like that. But I think I was just in the mood to watch all of the Mighty Ducks movies, and I had never seen D3 at that point. So I watched it then. I watched it again yesterday or night before. I'm good on D3.
Wow.
It's okay. It's not I didn't love it. It felt very low stakes. I guess considering like where the stakes of the first two movies, like where are you going to go? You know, what else can they accomplish? I guess. So this just didn't feel like there was that much to gain. We'll get into it, but Yeah, it's just kind of it's okay.
You know what, Joe? That is seems to be a kind of a consensus going on with guests, because it's like you go from like the Miracle on Ice story in the second movie,
right?
To we're fighting for the school. That's who we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leandro, that was a running thing last season when we realized that they were just rewriting Miracle, just Iceland with Russia.
Of course. Yeah.
That was D2. So here we are in D3, and they're in high school. And well, let's get into our minute, because we're at a really crazy point of the movie we're in the same place they play every game, but the smoke is going. I still haven't figured it out from the last episode yet.
It's mood setting.
Yeah.
It's a private school. They have plenty of money for fog machines.
There you go. And it might explain why the coach sees them later. I still don't understand that. We'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah.
But what I liked about this, the story here, though, is there as the coach arrived was saying earlier, your little duck tricks don't work here. And the flying V completely falls apart. Completely falls apart, which is fine. A good storytelling, actually.
I like that their tricks don't work. The triple D doesn't work. The V, of course, doesn't work. I like that. I forget. Has Russ done the knuckle puck? Was that
Okay. And I don't think it happens, obviously, because the last episode Dwayne's moves got checked down, and Fulton's shot got caught. Like all this stuff that everything they're known for got stopped. Everything. So
this is really a turning point in the film, because before this you have the entire kind of core team going, no, we're still the ducks, quack, quack, quack. And everybody's saying, no, you can't do that. And there's no reason for them to not want to do that, because they're good at what they do and they have fun at what they do. And they really have no consequences. You almost get a consequence with them getting a tie in that first game. But even then, that doesn't really seal their fate as being children who have to learn how to play against older children.
And also, they won. They won with those tricks. So in their brain, that's the only way to win.
Yeah. It's just odd that they're going up against an older... They're punching above their weight, to use metaphor. Like, they shouldn't necessarily expect their tricks to work, or be surprised that they don't work. Like, you're not going to be able to do the flying V against people who are, in this case, like a foot taller than you and have 50 extra pounds,
Yeah, that's one thing that I find incredibly baffling about all of this. This rivalry against the varsity and JV teams is very, very foreign to me. As somebody who was kind of tangentially related to high school sports, it was never the JV team's gonna kick the butt of the varsity team, and that's normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that they established that there's this rivalry between JV and varsity. But again, it's low stakes. And I didn't realize until about halfway through the movie that's their evil team Iceland in this movie. I didn't know until about halfway through that this movie is just building up to them taking on the varsity team. Like, I don't know. That felt really strange to me.
You know what's funny, Travis, though? Also, one of the players on varsity is also Gunnar Stahl from Iceland.
Oh, really?
Which I thought was pretty funny. I was like, oh, wow. Did not realize that until literally like 2 shows ago. Did not realize that.
I really like that Adam Banks makes it to the varsity team.
Yes.
I like that there's a, he always was the odd man out.
Mm-hmm. The best player. The best player.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I wanted to say some follow up with something that Deandra said. I did play football in high school. And there was a little feud between the JV and freshmen and the JV and the varsity squads, but JV and varsity were pretty much the same team in my high school. It wasn't that big of a deal. We were the same team. We were the varsity's backups. We were still going with them in the games. It was the freshman varsity thing, but we never played each other. It wasn't like we played each other in a game. It made no sense. We're 14. They're 17. There's no reason for that matchup to ever happen.
But also, if you think about this, we're looking at the Mighty Ducks, who we've spent two films just seeing them become better and better and better, and they become Miracle on Ice Jr. And it's really important and epic, and everybody loves them, and they are not as good as what I'm guessing is like a good but somewhat typical high school varsity team. They might have a good legacy because they keep winning, not winning states, but I wouldn't say that they're much better than anybody else. I don't think in universe that we're supposed to go into this going like, oh, the Mighty Ducks are now the Warriors. That's going to be huge. Like, we haven't heard about the Warriors before. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that they are not like Ducks level crazy good.
That's very true. It's very true. Another note, by the way, I have my problems. I was watching these minutes actually this morning as I was finishing my notes this morning. And I'm like, I don't remember in the other movies the Ducks being this bad at defense.
Yeah.
This bad.
They really hammer it home that that's what Coach Orion, like, that's his thing is defense.
And I respect that. As a hockey fan, yeah. I respect it.
Oh, but yeah.
I don't remember the Ducks being this bad at it.
Yeah.
I used to have season tickets to the Capitals when they didn't have a defense to speak of. And it was excruciating going, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just stay on the one side. I trust that you have offense.
Leandra, I'm on the opposite end. I became a Devils fan during the Crashline era. That's when I became a Devils fan, was in the 90s during the Crashline era. So where we had the best defense in the league. So.
Yeah, it took a while for Caps to figure out a defense. I wouldn't say that they have the best defense in the league, but they do have a good one now.
Remember, the Devils did shut down the Russian Five.
Yes.
That did happen. So. So anyway, back to this. The one thing I will note here, I love here, is the score and the sound effects in this background of this are amazing.
Like, yeah. It really is.
Whoever put this together, with this, not even just the score, but the sound effects and like the grunting and everything else going on in the background is fantastic.
If you close your eyes and say, okay, am I watching a children's film from the 1990s or am I watching one of the Star Wars trilogies from the early 2000s? The only thing that's going to make you pick one or the other is the lack of pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, there's that kind of chanting. It was really... It caught me by surprise, like the, all of that stuff. And you hear like swords clashing at a certain point. I think whenever they're puck handling and stuff like that. And it's really epic and it took me by surprise, but it kind of works. I didn't mind that part of it. And especially with the, they've got the lights turned off for reasons unknown,
dramatic effect.
It's cosmic bowling. Why wouldn't there be
right
glow in the dark hockey?
Yeah,
fair. Yeah, I where are the lights coming from? They're coming from the hallway of the school. Like, where are those lights coming from? Because there's no lights in the building itself because they get turned on later. So I don't know where the lights are coming from. I will say, okay, throughout this whole thing, I'm watching this. And varsity, I know all the Ducks are complaining that varsity is playing cheap. They're not really playing cheap, except when they run in the Goldberg and take them out. That's the only time. That's cheap.
I feel like both teams are playing completely poorly as far as that goes. Like, you've got goaltender interference. You've got a lot of grapples. You've got some high sticks. It's just there's a lot of messiness going on across the board, and the Ducks are just as guilty of it in that previous game that we saw.
It's true. And this is why two teams that don't like each other should have referees at all times, because it's out of hand quickly. Out of hand.
I had a question about that. Who's dropping the puck? How are they?
They're doing the thing where they drop it right in the center and they have to like hit their sticks together three times in order to kind of like do the fake drop of the puck. That was a high school thing, at least for me.
Thank you. Is that a thing? If you're wondering,
it's a thing. It's a thing. It is a thing.
That is a thing. Okay. We were talking about the last episode. We did not know if that was a thing. You answered the question from the last show.
Perfect. Hey, here for
awesome.
You.
But nice. I didn't realize it. That's funny how that works.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like an official thing. The time that I've seen that done is like when I was playing like field hockey in gym class.
But still,
So
though,
it's
that
just
makes
like,
sense for this, that they would do something like that. That makes sense. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I don't think you realize how excited I am that you just solved that problem for the last shot. Thank you.
Hey.
Oh, man.
It drives me nuts seeing Goldberg in net this movie, because it made me so happy when Julie started to take over as goalie. I think it maybe a little bit before this, and then kind of for the rest of the movie, she's usually in goal.
Right.
Because he's the worst.
And what's bad about it is Goldberg feels like he's worse now than he was, and his
Yeah.
attitude sucks. Like, deal with the fact you're not the starter anymore. I've been having that
Yeah.
problem the whole movie with him. Like, deal with it. Like, what?
Well, and he just acts like he's the greatest thing between the pipes, but he always is scared when the puck's headed his way. He can't deflect. He's just in this movie. I know he's been better in the previous movies. He's had his moments and everything, but it made me so happy when Julie ends up in net in the rest of the movie.
Oh, absolutely. And even when they say, hey, well, she's a lot faster. She has better puck handling. She's better at the game. He goes, oh, does that mean that she needs to bulk up? And no, it means you need to practice the thing that Coach Orion told you need to do instead of playing around. And he's like, no, that can't be what I'm supposed to get from that.
What's cool about that whole conversation earlier in the movie is that Aaron even says, at this level, Julie's better. That's the first time that at this level actually makes sense. Like, that makes sense to me. You're playing teams that are actually been together probably longer than you guys have. Like, you guys have been together maybe, what, a couple of years? Like, I know, for instance, I was looking up that Blake school they played earlier in the movie. I looked them up. That school, like, it's like my hometown, I lived in a very small town. The football team, I didn't join the football team till freshman year of high school, but that team was together for 3 years before I joined them. So, like, that's probably what these teams are like in this movie. Like, these teams have been together since like 10 years old. Like, they know each other. So, yeah.
And then you have that jabroni on the varsity team, and he goes, "Yeah, my little brother was supposed to be on JV, but he didn't get in because of this duck thing." And like, yeah, I'd be upset too if I've been working through somebody's farm system, even at this level. And then they go, "No, we're gonna go with some plucky children from another place, and we're just
Even though
gonna
they're from this
mix
town,
it
even though they're
up."
from Minnesota, even technically we're in Minnesota.
So that answers kind of this working theory that I had. And listeners, if you have children in the room, you might want to send them out of the room for this theory, because it gets dark.
Go for it. I want to hear this. I want to hear
But
this.
I'm watching this movie, right? And something just felt off. It was weird to me, because in the previous two movies, we've added kids to the team, right? You've had In the first movie, it was just all these little, orphans or kids just
Plucky street urchins.
yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
In the second movie, you take all those kids, you bring them to LA, I think, and then you meet Russ, and you get Luis
And
and
Luis
Julie
and
and the
Dwayne.
figure skaters. And so you add to the team, and they get here, and it's most of that team from the second movie. They dropped a character or two.
Portman is the only one missing, but he'll be
Okay.
there.
Well, I think the figure skating brother and sister
They
aren't.
didn't make a second movie. Kenny Wu is the only figure skater here at this point. I mean,
Well,
Kenny Wu is the only
I
one.
thought that was the second movie.
So Kenny Wu came in the second movie. The brother sister were the first movie.
Okay. Okay. Either way, you'd think that you'd start adding some more people, because I started to think about it, and it's like, where are all the existing JV kids? And I started to think, was there a bus crash? Did the entire JV team, are they dead? And they had to like scramble, and like, we need a team. Let's bring in the Ducks. Obviously, that's a super dark, like, in my head, like just little theory I was working on, but it was just, it's, as I thought about it, it's just weird to bring in, I mean, essentially you're paying, cause you're paying for their scholarships and everything. You're buying right. a team. But not adding any of your star players in JV to this roster.
And you're not bringing in the coach. So you're clearly fine with it changing fundamentally. And all of this is very confusing. I have no idea how much money the JV hockey makes in Minnesota, but I don't think that it makes enough money to offset the cost of what, 20 kids full scholarships to private school. I don't see that.
No. You know what, Travis, I'm all right. Something. A good story here, and they wanted an extra story, would be the JV squad that was here, and the Ducks coming in, and then they have to join forces and get along, and that could have been the B plot to lead up to the A plot at the end.
Yeah.
Like you did in the second movie. You could have done that, you know?
Yeah, and that's, I mean, obviously my theory is kind of a joke, but obviously, but it is weird not to, on a Disney marketing level, like, why wouldn't you have some existing JV students and like have that team blend with this team? And then you have rivalries, you know, if your one of the Bash brothers is gone, you find a new Bash brother here. Maybe someone Fulton can blend with, or, you know, I don't know. It's just an odd decision not to address. I mean, I guess they did. I missed the line about someone's brother not making the team because
the Ducks. It was in the opening minutes.
I don't know. It's really frustrating to me that that they don't even have people going like, oh, I've heard of you and you stink, or like that one kid that's like, oh man, I'm so excited that you guys are here because I've been following this because you're Miracle on Ice for children. And that's really cool. Like, nobody seems to care. And they're like, you're not that great. And clearly they're not, but
their reputation alone. That's what they are. Their reputation.
Yeah.
So that's what the thing is. By the way, I just want to address the people listening. In no way was Travis making fun of the Humbert Broncos, who did have a bus crash a few years ago and lost their entire franchise. I just want to clarify that he's not making fun of that.
No, this is very much a community glee club thing.
Just, that book's coming out next month. By the time maybe people hear this, that book will be out already. Travis in no way is making fun of that.
No.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that now before anyone complains to you as you're making fun of an actual real life situation.
Not at all.
That would be so messed up.
Yeah, that's why. But to put that out there. But I was sitting over here just making sure I got the right behemoth over here. Address that right away. So back to where we are in the movie. I do like how Banks and Charlie are the ones that go at it. It's like they've been waiting to do this since the beginning of the first movie.
Absolutely.
These two have wanted to go at it since the beginning, and we finally get it. They're 2 steps away from actually dropping the gloves and actually having a real hockey fight.
It's a little unfortunate that it's the kid who was on the outs in the first movie, and they're dragging all that back up. Like, even when they start to go at it, Charlie says, yo, you're tell it to your rich parents, or, you know, and it's, I almost wish that another player had been the varsity, you know, the kid that went to the varsity team, so that they could, like, at this point, Adam should be, you know, a core member of this team. So just to drag that stuff from the first movie up here, I don't know. It feels a little unfortunate for the character.
And they even called a preppy, which is something they haven't brought up since the first movie. Because Charlie and Adam, they were like bonding in the second movie. Like, they were bonding. Like, they had like moments together.
Yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah. Like, they were really close. Like, it doesn't make sense how we're here. But again, though, it feels like, let's just forget half the storylines happened in the second movie. And let's just bring up stuff from the first movie. But that happens later on with Gordon, too. It's like, let's just forget the second movie happened. Mm-hmm. And we'll just talk about the first movie.
Yeah, this is a different universe than the previous film, I guess.
So, I have the captioning on my screen over here, and all it says here during this whole fight is all shouting and grunting. That's all it says on the screen. Which is hilarious. That's one of the funnier captions I've seen. So I do appreciate, by the way, Goldberg really wanting to get into this fight. If they really wanted realism, they should have gone off to the goaltender, because I didn't think I love more than a goaltender fight.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I love a good goal. I got to see one in person. I got to see one in person, by the way. Admirals game a few years back, there was almost like a benches clearing brawl during an Admirals Wolves game that started with a goalie fight. It was amazing. It was one of the most amazing. It was so crazy. They had to end the second period early and do an intermission to clear everybody off the ice, to figure out what was going on, to clear everybody off, come back out, play the 7 minutes that was left, and then have intermission again.
Wow.
It was so chaotic. I got pictures somewhere from this. It was the crazy part. It was on Autism Awareness Day. There's a whole bunch of children here that are autistic, enjoying this fight going on again, with their parents telling them not to do that. It was hilarious. Oh, man. So... I had to bring that up. So,
yeah,
I have a question here. Coach Orion just shows up.
Mm.
Why is he here, first of all? What time is it? That's the second question. And number two, when did he turn the lights on for him to come out here? There are so many questions I have.
Well, you'll find out later, maybe in a few weeks, why he might be there early. True. Like, he seems to have a morning routine there on the ice. I don't know if that could be why.
Maybe. I'll maybe have to check later to see if he's wearing the same outfit.
Later.
So, but like, it's weird that he just happened to be here right when this fight starts to turn the lights on in the building and break everybody up. It's just like,
New convenience. Well, go ahead.
He said something like that after that one game where they tied, that he expected everybody to show up at the school like 5 a.m. on a Saturday because that's the best time to get goose eggs.
Yeah, like, something like that.
Yeah, so maybe he just expected that to happen.
And story-wise, it's the best way to break up this fight so that they don't really have a fight. You don't have students, fighting against each other. But story-wise, it just helps to... The game's already over at this point. They're not going to... we don't want to see our team just keep getting beaten. They've already lost. So it's good to have the coach, at this point when they're kind of at their lowest, we need Charlie's going to leave and Fulton's going to go with them because, Charlie he's just got this chip on his shoulder. He drove me nuts throughout this movie.
Let's talk about that. That's been driving me nuts. Why is he so cocky? Why is he so cocky in this movie?
It doesn't even seem like he's cocky. It seems like he's like struggling with childhood alcohol addiction. He's just like, and then he has this wonderful line where it seems like he had to take a drag of a cigarette before he said it. It was, you're breaking up the best thing that any of us ever had.
Yeah.
And it's just, he says it like he's just like, get out of here. It's just, it's great.
That's very funny. I like that. That's great.
Charlie lives in this weird world. It starts at the beginning of the movie when you find out that Bombay isn't going to be joining them. You know the way that everyone in your life always goes with you in every step of your life. They all go to the same high school. They all go to the same college with you, your coaches, like he lives in this bubble of like, he thinks that his coach is going to be his coach the rest of his life. And his friends are all going to play the same team with him here. And they're all going to go together maybe in college and beyond that. Like he needs to grow up and that's, it took a while for him to learn that, even Fulton says, I think maybe next week, like, I don't know if I want to do this the rest of my life, and Charlie is just, he needs to learn that he's going to have to let people go. Like, he didn't handle it well when Bombay left, and he just thinks that he's going to have everything that he wants, at all times. And that's, It's just a harsh reality to learn, and he's just not doing a good job of it.
Yeah, he's very much the Peter Pan of this. Everybody else is like, okay, well, I want to become better at hockey. I want to maybe do this other thing. I'm going to get a new job. And he's going, no, I want to live in this bubble, and I'm going to keep all of you with me at every cost.
That's a good point, actually. That's a very good point. I didn't think about it that way. I didn't even think about it from that perspective that he is the Peter Pan of this movie.
Yeah.
He wants to be a kid. And even though they're all trying to grow up, you know, they all got to grow up around him. It's weird how that works.
It's a surprising turn, I guess. If you look at the typical happy ending Disney kind of template, it's weird that Coach Bombay didn't become his stepdad. You know, it's really kind of strange because that's really his father figure. In the first movie all the way till now, I forget, was there a relationship with him, with Bombay and Charlie's mom?
Yeah, they were dating in the first movie.
Okay.
And then when we got to the second movie, they had broken up, probably because he was traveling. And then his mom actually got remarried.
Okay.
The movie. But we don't see the husband in the third movie. So I think there's something. Huh. Some weird story that we don't know about between the second movie that was brought up at the beginning of the second movie by John and Gordon that Charlie's mom got remarried.
Hmm.
So that was mentioned in the second movie.
Yeah. Charlie, he needs a father figure. Obviously, blanking on his name, the older guy, the old man.
Hans.
Oh, sorry. You know, he kind of becomes a surrogate in a little bit of a way. And then, I don't know. It just Charlie just needs a dad.
Yeah,
but
exactly. It's one of those things where, like, I don't understand, like, why he's like this. Like,
okay,
another question I have. Travis, you've been watching all the movies, and Leander, you watch them. When the hell did Charlie actually become the captain of this team? Because that bothered me this entire movie. He was not the captain in the first movie. He wasn't the captain in the second movie. When did he become captain?
Oh, you're good.
I assumed it was in the second movie.
Yeah.
It's bothering me.
And they were like, but he's always been our captain.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. No. Like, that's just not true.
I actually went back and I watched the end of the second movie, but this movie, I'm like, it was bothering me. Like, I have everything. Like, I went back and watched it. Like, he's not even wearing the captaincy when he's being the assistant coach in the gold medal game. Like, I didn't even there. Like, I don't understand the storyline.
That's funny.
Yeah. But who would be a better captain?
Oh, no, Charlie should be their captain. I agree. But, like, he was never actually named captain. even though the whole storyline, like, Gordon gave him the C, but he never did.
Yeah,
I think Julie would be a good team captain.
Right.
She
at least focuses.
Yeah.
True. But they really ever give goaltenders to C's.
Yeah.
Rare. And it's one thing I've learned from other teams. The best player sometimes doesn't have the C.
Mm-hmm.
True.
I'll take
the person.
We talked about Miracle on Ice earlier. Mike Ruzioni, not the best player on that team, but he was the captain.
Yeah.
And I'm throwing that as an example that everyone knows.
I like that. Kind of here, it's Charlie's the heart of the team. Yeah, perfect. Charlie may not be the best player. Adam Banks is probably the best player, as far as all around, abilities. But it should be Charlie, if he'd get his head out of his butt long enough to realize that he's not, the Ducks aren't necessarily, you know, you're not going to be able to come here with the same, I guess the swagger that they've built up from their past two adventures.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to carry him very far, and that's just one kind of rule he's gotta learn.
Yeah, and he even tried to name drop with that girl, going like, hey, you haven't heard of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks? They named a hockey team after us. And she's like, I don't care even the smallest bit.
That is one of my favorite, like, throw out there, because I the timeline of this movie comes, this actually came out opening weekend of the Ducks' second season.
Wow.
So this movie came out. Like, I don't know how they did the premiere, but I could totally see them doing, like, some big premiere.
Right? Oh, I'm sure.
The Arrowhead Pond or something. I could totally see them doing that. I don't know if they did that or not, but I could totally see it. But this is the opening weekend of the second season of the Ducks is when this movie came out.
Yeah. I'm sad when I was so sad when they dropped the Mighty from that.
I think that's why I'm so happy when they brought back, they were brought back to their jerseys last year, and they brought back the old logo. Like, I was so happy to see it again last year. So before the pandemic, like, I was so happy. Yay. Bring back that logo as much as you possibly can. I will never be disappointed.
But back to goalies not normally being captains. I mean, that's what they, that's what happened with the Vegas Knights. I believe they didn't have a captain that first season. And it was kind of de facto their goalie.
Oh yeah, because Fleury was the most experienced player on the team, if I remember right. Yeah, Fleury had the most, and the cup wins and everything else. From
Pittsburgh. He was clearly the captain, but he wasn't the captain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, funny part is, like, we're doing this in the middle of hockey season, recording this in the hockey season, and the Devils don't have a captain right now. And like, everyone knows who the captain's going to be, but he's currently injured. That's the other reason they don't have a captain right now. Yeah, like, it's one of those situations where, like, we're waiting for him to get back from injury. Sure. We're waiting for him to get back from injury to give him the seat. That's the only reason he's not captain.
I feel like Lundqvist would have been a good captain for the Rangers. I don't know who the Rangers captain had been, but Lundqvist is like the one Ranger player I knew for several years, you know.
I will say this now as a Devils fan.
Yeah.
Much like Mike Richter back in the day, I respected Mike Richter, hated him as a Ranger. I respected Lundqvist, hated him as a Ranger. Yeah, like, sure. I'll put it that way. Like, I rooted for Mike Richter with all my heart when he was playing for Team USA. But when you wore the Rangers logo, you were my arch enemy.
There are just some things that you just can't love. And that's the Rangers.
Yeah.
Rangers and the Flyers are my two arch rival teams. Throw that out there.
I like the Flyers. I got a soft spot for the Flyers.
I'm not allowed to like the Penguins, obviously.
No.
Obviously. No. You're a Capitals fan, I can't. Obviously.
Yeah.
Penguins. Terrible. So the Flyers, I was at a Devils Flyer game one time, and I forgot it was. Maybe it was Lindros. Lindros took out Marty. Right in the middle of the second period. And that was the day I'm like, this is my first Devils Flyers game. I'm like, yeah, now I understand this rivalry. Now I get it. I get it now.
It's like, that's how I feel as a Blues fan. Like, I cannot like anyone on the Blackhawks team. You know?
Yeah.
Fair. That's a lot. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. So, okay, we'll drop this up. We're almost done with these minutes here. Trust me, I can talk hockey for hours, but I do have another episode to do today. I understand Coach O'Ryan's point here. Take off the jerseys.
Oh yeah,
making a point here. Although I did note that Coach O'Ryan wearing an NHLPA shirt. Pretty funny. Pretty funny. Dude. But he told them to take off the jerseys. This is where Charlie decides, no, I'm not doing that. This is where they throw out the line Leander brought up earlier. You're breaking up the best thing anyone's ever had.
Can't believe you're doing this to us. Yeah. You're breaking up the family.
Which is stupid. It's really, you're breaking up the best thing you ever had, Charlie, not him.
Right.
Let's be honest here.
There were just a few moments in this 5-minute chunk. We've kind of mentioned Miracle on Ice, you know, a few times. One thing that kind of reminded me of all that was just this, like, this game is like an exhibition match, kind of like what that team did with against Russia before.
Yeah, Soviet USA at the Garden.
Yeah. So this is kind of that, where they get beaten and they kind of realize what they're up against. The moment where Coach O'Ryan is this taking off the jerseys and telling him, like, the Ducks are dead. Like, that's kind of your what team do you play for? Like, he wants this team to realize, like, you know, you're not, I mean, eventually they'll flip flop on this, but he's telling them, you're not Mighty Ducks. You need to play as this team that I'm building.
Yeah.
It was kind of that, you know, miracle, what team do you play for? Team USA, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Except without the charisma.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure. You have,
he's
this
no
kind
Herb
of...
Brooks, you
no,
know.
No, yeah. No, no.
But I really like Coach O'Ryan, and especially like in this, at the end of this, this group of minutes, I really respect what he's doing, and it's probably because I'm closer to his age now than I am closer to the kid's age when I first would have been in the target audience for this movie, you know, he's just right. You know, maybe he needs to change up his way of going about it with some of the people, but you know,
I mean, he has this classic, this guy's strict, but we're obviously going to find out that he has a heart of gold sort of thing going for him.
I noticed earlier in the movie, and I said this earlier on the show, as an adult, he's a great coach. Like, as an adult, great coach. Like, I didn't realize this when I was younger. Like, he is such a great coach. Because if you just listen to what he's saying, everything he says makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It's like when you watch The Little Mermaid as an adult, and she goes, "But Dad, I'm 14. I'm an adult." Like, no. Wow. No, you are not. Stay under the sea.
So are they. Yeah.
Like, Charlie's just acting the fool, and Orion's like, "Please don't. If you're gonna, you should leave." And then he does, and he's like, "Bye."
Yeah.
But I can't work with this.
I like that he tells the kids after Charlie and Fulton leave, like, "You don't want to be here, don't be here." You know,
I respect that move. I think it's a smart move.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. If you don't want to be here, no one's forcing you to be here. And it's true. It's a true statement. Like, no one's forcing you to play this game except for your scholarship and your parents. But that's a whole other thing. You deal with your parents then if you don't want to be here. You know?
I do like that there's at least one person at all times that goes like, "I don't want to mess this up. I have a free ride to a good school."
And that's usually Russ.
Yeah. Usually going, "I'm good.
Yeah.
I will play."
Russ has been doing that. That's been a running gag the entire movie. Every chance he gets, it's like, "Absolutely nobody." Russ says, "I'm a scholarship. I'm on scholarship."
Well, we have to be reminded we are not intelligent as an audience.
I don't know if that was like they threw it in once and they realized him saying it was hysterical. They just kept doing it because he did it so many times. Like, it's ridiculous. I didn't realize how many times he said it until going through this movie like this. It's at least once every 15 minutes. Like, it's so ridiculous. One more note from when we cut over to Hans, who, by the way, first time we actually see him actually being sick in this movie.
He's sick?
I know, right? He's actually coughing. This is the first. That was the first time. Death by coughing, as we learned in other movies. Yeah. He was coughing for the first time. But by the way, had a whole different meaning now in 2021.
Yeah. Coughing
and leading to illness had a whole different meaning to us now than at the time. This is this. But I do appreciate this is the only, this is the first setup we have of Goldberg being a defenseman. This is great. I like this move. And at the time, I'm like, this is a great move. Like, this is a great moment. I'm like, okay, cool. Goldberg will no longer be upset because he was now almost, you know, he's telling his own thing. And maybe that's what he was meant to do this whole time. He wasn't meant to be goaltender.
Right.
No.
So that is where we end our 5 minutes with Hans turning off the radio, which I do love the fact that the JV team games are on the old school fashion radio the entire movie. Like, it's such a weird thing to do, but sure.
Yeah, I've got this weird Uncle Drosselmeyer guy listening to his radio and coughing because of his old Victorian orphan disease. Like, it's very, very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I love the old school radio. I've been commenting on it this entire movie. Like, it's just a little funny gag that we will never see again after this little scene next episode. But we're through our minutes and we get to the final, our big question that we've been asking every single person as we've been going through this movie. And I've been asking everybody for their craziest or funniest high school stories or memories. I will start with Travis because you're our all-star guest. I'll start with you. So why don't you give us a story if you have one?
The one I thought about, it ties into the movie because we get so much rollerblading kind of at the start of the movie.
Right.
And so when school was like in high school, when school was out, me and my friends, we would just kind of hang out in the parking lot. You know, we weren't really doing anything, just hanging out, talking. We didn't have anywhere to be. One friend of mine and I, we took to putting on rollerblades and we would, you know, skate around in the parking lot. And that turned into, well, you have a truck. I have arms. I'll hold on to the back of your truck and you pull me around the parking lot.
no.
And that turned into him heading towards the exit of the parking lot and me going, you know, 20 miles an hour on rollerblades, which is a little faster than I wanted to be going. And he had no intentions of really stopping. So I let go and go over the hood of a car that was like in the next lane over and kind of land in front of their car. Luckily they were just creeping. So there was no, like, I didn't get hit by this car, but I definitely went over the hood of the car. At right in front of the principal who was directing traffic, you know, letting people out. So that was fun.
That's fantastic. I did not see that coming. I thought you were going all Martin McFly and now you're in cars and you're getting traffic.
No.
Wow. That was wow. Unexpected. Leandra, go for it.
Okay. So I need to preface this for your audience. I am a law-abiding citizen. I never jaywalk. I look both ways before crossing the street. I don't drive, but if I did, I'd always drive the speed limit. And when I was in high school, I was in marching band. And as a senior, all of the seniors in the band got to have the big campfire over at the school. We all slept out on the field. It was super fun, super cool. And as unattended kids often do, we decided to get into hijinks. So one of the things that we did was we went over to the neighboring elementary school, and we found in their dumpster a bunch of chairs and an old chalkboard and just stuff that they were throwing out. And we're like, oh, this is going to be really funny. So we set up an entire classroom on the football field. And we thought that was great. And then it was still early in the night and we were stupid. So we were like, oh, you know what else we should do? We should get on top of the high school. And we figured out a way without a ladder to all get up on top of the roof of the high school. And we're like, man, this is really cool. We're totally normal. And then somebody was like, oh, we should break in. And that's when I went, that's not going to be the thing that I do, but I applaud your pluckiness. And just as they were trying to figure out how to like open up a door without setting off any alarms, from our perch high above, we noticed that there were police cars that were coming toward us. And we were like, oh no, we're all going to go to jail because we're trespassing, obviously. And this is it. So we all get off of the roof, and instead of running, which honestly, I don't know if that would have been better, but at least it wouldn't have been as dumb. We decided to go onto the field and then just pancake down so that we were all just like laying as flat as possible. Yeah. There was no alcohol involved with this. I don't drink. I didn't drink then. I won't drink later. We decided that was going to be the thing that we did to get out of this. And I could hear the cops laughing at us as they got back in their car and drove away. And we definitely had to clean up the field because we still had that classroom there. And that's not where that needed to be. So the next morning, while everybody else was getting kind of prepped for practice or what have you, us seniors, we took the time to clean everything up.
Wow.
I really thought that was going to somehow end in all that stuff being in the fire. That's where I thought that was
going. No,
that was great. Like, I love the cops just showing up, like, all these dumb kids are just leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're at the time, like, I feel like when you're in high school, you really think that the stuff that you do is like really cool and really, really interesting, and nobody's ever done it before. And for the most part, you're not cool and you're not interesting, and you definitely aren't the first to do something that isn't cool or isn't interesting. So I'm sure that this was like, seniors are on the roof again. These people are idiots again. So
That is great. That is very, very funny. Yeah. You're reminding me of the awful security guards that we had at our school. That anytime a fight happened, they're just running in slow motion. We called one Mario because he looked like Mario from Mario Brothers.
And he would
run in slow motion, like in the video game. It was actually bad and hysterical. But I look back now, I actually might be the same size as Mario now. So that, I mean, it's funny anymore. I think it's funny, nearly as funny as it was when I was in high school. Think about
it. Yeah, we had two police officers, and one was really cool. His name was Officer Twombly. Yeah, Officer Twombly. And he was very neat. That he was just like, I'm going to do this, and this is my job, but I'm going to be the cool cop. So he just wandered around being like, hey, don't be a jerk. And we'd be like, okay, we can do that.
Actually, you just made me think, when I was in drama club, I was in drama club for 3 years, and I became friends with one of the janitors, which is interesting. It's an interesting thing to do. He was actually helping with the high school website that I was working on. And he may or may not have told us where a broken vending machine was. Unofficially told us where a broken vending machine was. And we just happened to know where it was. And we just happened to get free snacks then. And we loaded up our entire dressing room with free snacks because of him. Which was amazing. And I still to this day don't know if they ever knew who did that. To this day, because we literally, I think we cleaned out the entire thing and brought it up to our dressing room.
Well, if they're listening to this,
yeah,
then
there's no statute of limitations on stolen snacks, sir.
No, I think we're good. I don't think that's the worst story we've been told on this show when it comes to breaking some kind of a law or something.
Yeah. This is larceny in the tens of dollars, yeah, sort of level.
I will leave out the end of the story on why we are left alone to do that. I will leave that part of the story out because the person that was in charge of us is passed away now, so I'm not going to put his name in like vain here. But if you ever want to hear the rest of that story, check me, message me offline. I will tell the rest of that story. It's not on the air. It's not an on the air story. So on that note, let's get the plugs. Travis, plug away. Go for it.
I have a completed Movies by Minutes project. It's been completed for, I guess, well over, probably coming up on 2 years now. I don't know. But Watchmen Minutes, we went through the director's cut of Watchmen 1 minute at a time. So that is completed and just waiting for you. My ongoing podcast is Real Comic Heroes, where, my partner and I, we go through a big list of comic book movies, in release order. So we started in the 50s with Superman and the Mole Men. And we're currently in the mid-90s. We just did Time Cop and The Shadow and The Mask. So we've got some stuff like that. And it's a fun show. We just a movie review podcast. So check that out. Real Comic Heroes, real with two E's.
Ooh.
Yes, fancy. And Leandra, go.
All right. And I am half of the dynamic duo that runs Rocky Horror Minute. We are the podcast that breaks down the Rocky Horror Picture Show in excruciating detail, 1 minute at a time. We are a new addition to the Disney family, and we have not quite figured out how to not swear a lot. So if you are not excited about vulgarity and adult content, then maybe a Rocky Horror podcast isn't your favorite thing. Yeah. But if you do like that, go to RockyHorrorMinute.com.
Yes, I will agree with that sentiment. I think it's right there in your opening. If you're not, don't listen to the show. And that's
if
why
you're,
I love
if you're going to get upset, don't.
That's why I love your show, because you guys don't give a shit. I love it. So, all right. Well, that note, I'm going to say next week, Tracy from Brannick and ABCs will be here to continue on with the film. He'll be our next all-star guest. I'm looking forward to him coming on. And me, you can find me on the Black and South Show every single Friday right after this at 9 a.m. Go download that show. This goes up on earlier on Friday. That one goes up right afterwards. So go listen to that. I've been doing that now. We are just past 8.5 years doing that show, which is insane when you think about it. And that'll be that. You can hear this every single Friday. You can buy these t-shirts that I'm wearing to public. I'm plugging this because I want people to buy our D5 shirts because I know I'll be wearing this on a plane to Disney when I go there. So we will be wearing this. That being said, let's get out of here. Thank you both for coming on. especially because we brought on you guys had never met before we did this. So
yeah,
it was awesome.
Absolute pleasure.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you.
This went well. I'm very happy with the show today. I'm very happy. So
I'm happy you're happy.
You guys later, and especially when I get to my next secret project that I'll be announcing at the end of the season. I think I might have told one of you already. Yeah. But I know
you might have told me.
Maybe fully announced it yet.
You might have not told me.
Yes, well, I will let you know, but trust me, I'll definitely include you when I talk about it. So until then, thank you all for listening, and I'll see you all next week. Thank you for joining me, and have a good day, everybody.
And when everyone says it can't be done, ducks fly together.